Shor shel Yisrael shenagach shor shel hekdesh. If the shor belonged to a secular Jewish owner, but it gores an ox that belongs to the temple trust, or shel hekdesh shenagach l'shor shel Yisrael, a temple trust ox that gores the ox of a regular Jew, pater, there's no need to pay anything. Shenemar, because the pasuk talks about goring as in shorei ehu, velo shor shel hekdesh, the ox of his friend, not the ox of hekdesh. Shor shel Yisrael shenagach l'shor shel Knani. If the ox of a Jew gores the ox of a non-Jew, pater, the Jew doesn't have to pay. Shel Knani shenagach l'shor shel Yisrael. If the non-Jew's ox gores a Jewish ox, bein tam bein muad, whether it's an innocent ox that hasn't gored before, or if it's a habituated ox that's gored already three times, mashalim nezek shalim, the non-Jew has to pay full damage. So the non-Jew has to pay full damage when his ox gores us. When our ox gores their ox, we don't have to pay anything. Says the Mishnah. First, it talks about the first part of the Mishnah. Masnitzin lo kribshim ben Manasya. The Mishnah says that when you have hektesh involved, there's no payment, either when hektesh is goring you, or when you're goring hektesh. That's not lo kribshim ben Manasya. The time we look in a brisa, shor shel hektesh, shenagach shor shel hektesh. If my ox, a secular ox, gores an ox of hektesh, or hektesh's ox, shenagach shor shel hektesh, that gores a secular ox, pater, your exemption, am I like our Mishnah? Because the pasuk says, shor re'ehu, the laws of goring are with the ox of your friend. Velo shor shel hektesh, they don't apply to an ox that belongs to hektesh. Shem Manasya Omer, shor shel hektesh, shenagach shor shel hektesh, pater. If hektesh damages me, the ox of hektesh, it damages me, I'm exempt. But shel hedjot shenagach shor shel hektesh. But if it's my ox, a secular ox, goring an ox of hektesh, bein tam bein muad, mishalem nezek shalim. Either way, whether it's a tam or a muad, I have to pay the full damage. So that's not like our Mishnah. I mean, they said in the yeshiva, Ma'ikasav Reb Shimon ben Asya. What's the logic of Reb Shimon ben Asya? Irei Wiflin, the Torah talks about goring, and it says the ox of your friend, dafkut means your friend, then afilu shel hedj means particularly your friend, then even shel hedj shenagach shor shel hektesh li pater. Then even when the secular person's ox gores hektesh, you should be exempt, because it's not the ox of your friend. Why should he then be paying full damage? If you say when the Torah says your friend, it doesn't really mean it, it's lav dafka, afilu de hektesh nami, then even when hektesh gores me, ki nagach de hedjit, if it gored an ox of a secular person, li chayev, hektesh should have to pay.
That ox that for hektesh, that was supposed to be used for a korban, so now it can't be used anymore because it's
children out because it's damaged.
Either an ox that's going to be used for a korban or an ox that's bedek habayis, let's say it has a mum, and therefore it's stam, the property of hektesh. So if the pasuk is lav dafka, then even hektesh, when it gores, should be chay. V'chitem, if you're going to tell me, olam kasav areyu dafka, really, he thinks that the whole section of damages was only said in regards to two secular oxen. It's only if it's your friend. Umiyu dehaduki nagach dehektesh, hanan time of the machaye. But if your secular ox gores a hektesh ox, that's why you have to pay. Rishim the kamay slim and kavachomir dehedjot. It's not based on the pasuk, it's based on logic. Namely, umay hedjot shenagach shel hedjot chayiv. If a secular ox gores a secular ox, you have to pay. If a secular ox is going to gore the sacred ox, certainly the owner of the secular ox should have to pay. But if you're going to say that, then you could only, we have a rule called dial that limits a kal v'chomer only to be like the source. And the source was that there was chatzi nezek for the first three times and then nezek shalim. So even when goring hektesh, it should be first half damage and then full damage. How could Shimon Manasseh say that if you gore hektesh, you always have to pay full damage even from the very beginning? So balahalan tam chatzi nezek, achanami tam should be chatzi nezek. El Amar of Rish Lakish. Rish Lakish explained the view of Rishon ben Manasseh like this. Really, Re'eyu means only secular. Hakolayu Bechlal Nezek Shalim. Really, in the Torah, every damage you should have expected full payment. Why would you ever have half payment? Ukeshapirat Locha Kasef Re'eyu. When did the Torah suddenly say there's only half damage in regards to that which belongs to your friend? Gabe Tam. In the section of Tam, the Torah spoke about Re'ehu. So therefore, it's like this. Re'ehu, who the Tam Sham Chatzit Nezek. If it's your friend's ox, then you only pay half damage. implying mechlal de hekdesh, if it's not your friend's ox because it belongs to God, bein tam bein muad, then you go back to what's logic. And what's logical is, whether it's a tam or a muad, you have to pay full damage. Because if you're going to say that re'ehu is to exclude hekdesh from paying anything at all, the Torah should have said in regards to the case of muad, that muad only pays to re'ehu, to your friend, and that would say, but if it's not your friend, if it's hektish, you don't pay at all. And I would say, if Mu'ad doesn't have to pay at all, then certainly Tom doesn't have to pay. But the fact that the Torah only said re'ehu in regards to Tom, the way Reb Shimon Menashe understands that, the Torah is excluding the law of Tom from things that don't belong to re'ehu, namely to things that don't belong to re'ehu, namely things of hektish. Right away, it pays full damage.
Can I just ask a question? Mm-hmm. If I maybe magdish something and I lost it, do I have to bring a new one? I lost it.
Depends whether it was a neder or an adava. A neder you have to replace, and a adava you don't have to replace.
Sure, that's my problem with all this.
No, but because if the shor is bedek habayis, if it's the property of hekdesh, you have to pay hekdesh back. According to Shimon Manasseh, you have to pay money to the temple trust.
Okay. Not according to the Mishnah.
Correct.
That's a big deal.
Correct. Then the Mishnah said, however, Shor Shel Yisrael, Shenagach Shor Shel Kanani, Pater. If a person owns an ox and he gores an ox that belongs to a non-Jew, he doesn't have to pay at all. But if the non-Jew gores him, whether Tam or Muad, he has to pay full damage. Amri, they said in the Yeshiva, Mamad of Shachwi, this law seems to make no sense. It's completely illogical. From the Torah speaks about goring, and it says, when your ox gores the gore of the ox of your friend, it means particularly your friend. And the Knani Kinagat Yisrael, when a non-Jew's ox, he's not my friend, when he gores a Jew, Nami Lifter, he should also be exempt. Ireyu Lav Dafka, when the Torah says friend, it doesn't really mean that. It means any ox. So then I feel the Yisrael, even when a Jew gores a non-Jew, Kinagach the Knani, Nechayiv, he should have to pay, because it's not only to friends he has to pay to anyone. Amar Bavo explained, really, the non-Jews should have been included in the laws of damages. But Amar Kar, there's another pasuk. The pasuk says, Amad vayimodet aretz. He stood and he measured the earth. Ra, he saw vayater gayim and he released the nations. What does it mean? Ra, shev mitzvah shekibla aleihem b'nei noach. He saw that the non-Jews had accepted the seven commandments that they have to do, but kevan shlokimu, since they weren't fulfilling them. Amad, he stood vihitrim imonim liyisrael. He permitted their money to Israel. He fined them. God took away the money that they were supposed to get. Rabbi Yochanan meyachad, this is the pasuk that says it. Hofia mehar paran, he appeared from the mountain of Paran. So the way to read it is, mi Paran, hofia memonim liYisrael, from Paran, from when he was giving the Torah, and he's offering the Torah to all the nations, and they all refused, he then permitted their property, permitted this payment to the Jews, that they don't get paid when the Jews damage them, with the Jewish ox damages their ox, but when their ox damages the Jewish ox, they have to pay full damage. Tanya Miyach, we also learned in a brice like this. Shor Shel Yisrael, Shenagach Shor Shel Kanani, if a Jewish ox scores a non-Jewish ox, part of the Jew doesn't have to pay. However, Shor Shel Kanani, Shenagach Shor Shel Yisrael, but if the non-Jewish ox scores a Jewish ox, bein tam bein muad, whether that non-Jewish ox was a tam, it had never gored before, or a muad, it already gored three times, Meshalim Nezek Shalom, he has to pay full damages. Why? Not based on logic, it's a punishment. Shenemar, because the pasuk says, Amad vayimodet eretz, he stood and he measured the earth. Ra, he saw vayater goyim, and he permitted the nations. V'omer, and the other pasuk, Ofia me'ar paran, he came from the mountain of Paran, he released their money. My v'omer, why was there a need for a second pasuk? Rechitim, if you're going to tell me, hi, Amad vayimodet eretz, boy, little kid of Mas, little kid of Yosef, if you're going to say this verse, Amad vayimodet eretz, is needed for something else. It's needed for the drasha of Rabbi Masna and Rabbi Yosef, which we're going to see about what that is soon. Tashma, come in here, I have another pasuk. Hofia me'ar paran, mi'paran, from the fact that at Sinai, the other nations refused to accept the Torah, God then, Hofia me'monum li'Yisrael, he permitted their money to Israel. Ma'idu Rav Masna, what was this lesson of Rav Masna? Tam Rav Masna, Rav Masna said, Amad vayimodet eretz, Rav vayater goyim. He stood and he measured the earth, he saw and he released the nations. Ma'ra, what did he see? Ra, shev ha'mitzvah shenistav v'aleihem b'nei noach. He saw that there were seven commandments that the non-Jews had been commanded, and they weren't fulfilling them. Amad, so he stood up. Vayater, what does that mean? Vehiklos, samyalat masam. He he expelled them from their lands. We see that the non-Jews are thrown out from this land to that land. It's all because they're not being moral. They're not fulfilling the seven commandments that they were given, and therefore God is punishing them. How do you know that that term vayater means to expel? It says here, vayater goyim, you release the nations. And it says over there, linater bahen al haaretz, to wander around the earth. And Unklus translates the kafza bahon al ara, to jump from place to place within the earth. Okay, umayi Rav Yosef, what was the lesson of Rav Yosef? Amar Rav Yosef, Yosef said, Amar vayamodid aretz ra vayater goyim ara. What did he see? Ra sheva mitzvah shekibul aleihem bnei Noach. He saw the seven commandments that the non-Jews accepted. Velokimum, and they didn't fulfill them, so therefore Amar, he stood, vihitiran lehen, he permitted it to them. He said, okay, you don't have to do them anymore. I understand the Gemara says it. Gura itkar, they get rewarded. They don't do the right thing, so now they don't have to do it anymore. Imkein matzinu chote niskar, the sinner gets away with things. He gains by sinning. Amar Mar Bred Ravina, Mar, the son of Ravina, answered, Lom, what it means is, Shafilu Mekaymenos, and even if they do fulfill them, since they weren't fulfilling them, Ein Mekab Malam Sacha, they won't get reward. For though they don't get reward, I've a time we learned from Meir Omer, Minayin Shafilu Nachri Vosuk Batorah, Shuk Kohen Gadol. How do you know that even a non-Jew who's involved learning Torah, what Torah can a non-Jew learn? The Torah about the seven mitzvot. He's as if he's as good as a Kohen Gadol. Tamalor is the Pasuk, says Asher Yasa Osel Adam Vachaybem, that a man will do and live through them. Doesn't say Kohanim Levim and Yisraelim lo nema. It doesn't say Kohanim Levim and Yisraelim will do. Eladim, but a person will do. Even a non-Jew learning Torah, involved in his mitzvahs, is like a Kohen Gadol. So if so, what do you mean they get no reward? I mean, what it means is, what does it mean, Vayater Goyim, he released them, they get no reward. They don't get the reward of one commanded who fulfills. They get the reward of someone who's not commanded who fulfills, and we know Rav Chanina taught you get greater reward when you do what you have to do than if you do what you don't have to do. And the non-Jews, they lost this obligation of having to do mitzvos because they weren't fulfilling them. That's what the meaning of this pasuk is. So now we hear some sad stories. The Roman government once sent two officers, Etzel Chachmei Yisrael, to the elders of Israel, and they told them, "Lamdunu Torasim, teach us your Torah." So Karnar Rishon Vishilshu. So they learned the Torah three times. When they were leaving, they said to the sages of Israel, "We were careful about your whole Torah. Emesu, it's all true. Except for this law. If a Jewish ox gores a non-Jewish ox, the Jew doesn't have to pay. But if the non-Jewish ox gores the Jewish ox, bain tam, bain muad, whether a tam or a muad, Mishal Nezek Shalom has to pay full damages. Either way, if when the pasuk speaks about re'ehu, it means, you know, only friends. I feel the Knani, even when a non-Jew, when he gores a Jew, should be exempt, because all the laws of damages only apply to friends. If Re'eu doesn't mean a friend, I feel the Yisrael, even when a Jew gores a Knani, the Jew should have to pay. So the davar says, the explanation of this thing, we're not going to tell the non-Jews, because if we tell the government that they weren't, in the past, they weren't fulfilling their commandments, therefore God took away their money, they're going to get all upset. They'll say, well, if God took away our money from you, you don't need to pay us for damaging our money. We're going to take away your money for us, and we're going to just seize your money. So it would be very dangerous for us to share. Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda, Shchiva Lebrater. Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda's daughter died. Amar Le Rabbanu Le'ula. The rabbi said to Ula, "Kum nezel ninchame." Let's go and comfort him. So Amru Luhu, the rabbi said back. Ula said to the rabbis, "My isli gabi nechemtu de bavloi de gedufu." What you think I'm going to go and comfort with the Babylonians? You guys, when you comfort, you blaspheme. You say heresy. Why? To Amri, because you say, "My afshalamebad." What could you have done? What could you do? This is the way of the world. What do you mean? If you could do something, you would have done something. That's not a comfort. You have to accept God has his decisions. He knows what he's doing. You can't say, what could we have done? God knows what he's doing. It's the right judgment. So Ula didn't want to go with them. So he went by himself to comfort Reb Shmuel Bar Yehuda. So Ula said to Reb Shmuel Bar Yehuda, the pasuk says, "Vayomer Hashem." Hashem tells Moshe, "Al tatzaris Moav, don't set Moav. Al tizkar ba melchama, don't start up with them with the war." Why is Moshe thinking he can go wage war if God didn't tell him to wage a war? Moshe figured, by logic, I have to make a war against Moab. Why? The Midianites only came because Moab started it, and they came to help Moab out. And yet, Amra Torah, the Torah says, Soror, Midianim, Vikisem, hate the Midianim and kill them. So Moab, the Moab who started Lokol Shekin, certainly we should wage war. So God told Moshe, not the way you think is the way I think. I have two wonderful chicks that I'm going to take out of Moab. And therefore don't wage war against them. So now think about it. Because of two wonderful, chicks that are going to come out. Hashem has Rachmanus on two nations, big nations. He doesn't allow them to be destroyed. Bitosha Rebbe, so your daughter, the daughter of Reb Shmuel, if she was righteous, and she would have been deserving to have something good come out of her, certainly she would have lived. So if she didn't live, it was obviously the right thing. Wow. Harsh. There isn't any good deed that a person does that God's going to deny him the reward. Even reward for a little bit more modest talk. The older daughter was less modest. She said, my son's name is Moav because Me'av, he came from the father. You can remember, the daughters of Lot committed incest with Lot, and that's how they had children. So the first daughter called her son Moav from father. Amalak HaDosh Baruch Hu Moshe, God tells Moshe, Al Tatzer Es Moav, Al Tizgar Ba Milchama. Don't annoy Moav, don't start a war with them. Milchama Udalo, you can't make a war. Ha'an Guri Avidbu, but you could take them as captives and force them to work for you. But Seira, the younger daughter, Dekamra ben Ami, the son of my nation, which is a little bit more modest, Amaliyah Kadosh Baruch Moshe, Hashem tells Moshe about Amon, the Karavta Mul B'nei Amon, get close to Amon, Al Tetzureim, don't hate them, Al Tizgarbam, don't even get involved with them, Klal at all, Afilu Angure Lo Tavidmu, you can't even take any of them as captives. Amrab Chiyabar Abam, Rabbi Yeshua ben Karchel Olam, Yakna Adam Darf Lidvar Mitzvah, a person who is rush to do a mitzvah as soon as possible, Shvilai Lach, Shikin Masab Chir Litzira. But because that older daughter rushed and she was with her father one night before the younger daughter, Kidmata Arba Doris Li Yisrael, her nation entered into the Jewish people four generations earlier, namely Oved, the son of Rus, Yishai, the grandson of Rus, David, and Shlomo. Whereas Naama Amonis, Naamu, came from Moab, Yilatzira, Al-Drachavim, it only came in later with Rachavim, the Chsiv, as it said, V'shem Imo, the name of the mother of Rachavim was Naama Amonis, Naama the Ammonite. If a Jewish ox gores an ox of a Kuti, of a Samaritan, the Jew doesn't have to pay. But if the Samaritan's ox gores the Jewish ox, Tam has to pay half damage, Shamur has to pay full damage. Rabbi Meir Omer Meir says, Shor Shisrael Shnagel Shor Shel Kuti is Potter, Shel Kuti Shnagel Shor Shel Yisrael, Ben Tam Ben Muad Mishalim Nezek Shalim. The Meimer, does this mean the Sever Rabbi Meir Kutim Geir Arayos? Same Rabbi Meir is of the opinion that Kutim aren't Jewish, so they have the same laws as the Knan is. And when they converted, it was an insincere conversion. Rimini, but I'll challenge you, we learned, Kolak Samim Abayim Rekem, all the garments that have needs of blood on them that come from Rekem, Tahorim, are Tahor, because most of the people there are non-Jews. Rabbi Yehuda Mitamim, Pdeshim Geim Retor. Rabbi Yehuda says that they're Tameh because these are converts, but they just act like non-Jews, but they're really Jews, and Mibein Anachim Tahorim, the garments that have a stain with from the non-Jews are Tahor, Mibein Yisrael, Mibein Akutim, from Jews and the Kutim, they are Tameh. Rabbi Meir, Mitameh, Rabbi Meir says the Kutim are Tameh, V'chacham Mitarim, and the Chachamim say they are tar, shlo nefshu du al kismayim, because he thinks that even the kutim don't allow their ksamim around. Amatzav Rebbe Meir kutim geri emesim. So you see, Rebbe Meir thinks that kutim are Jews. Rebbe Vo explained, they are Jews, but knasu shakanas Rebbe Meir b'monam shlo yitamu b'hem. Rebbe Meir made a fine to put them at a financial disadvantage that Jews not intermarry with them. Thank you.